The Carmen and Yurko podcast is supported by Woodford Reserve, the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby. With more than 200 flavor notes in every sip, Woodford Reserve is a spectacle for the senses.
This is a journey.
Are we not crosstalking? No crosstalk with the boys?
Oh, the boys are there.
Wow.
You guys sound drunk early.
What does that mean?
We're waiting for you guys to jump on board.
Hold on. Wait, what are you talking about?
Who
brings it in for the crosstalk?
Guys, eight seconds to let the music breathe.
I thought I was the same way.
I listened for 8 seconds. Carmen's over here.
Blanking Abdallah in for Greeny, and now we welcome live from Kentucky, Carmen and Yurko.
Hello, guys.
What up, boys?
It takes that long.
My God, dudes. What are you sleeping? Let's see if they're there.
I thought they weren't there.
Let's see if they're going to jump in. Let's see if they're there. Come on, guys.
What's going on, Yurk? What's happening there?
We're getting quite the echo, though, so I feel like we're going to have to... It's a beautiful 80 degrees outside, so I think we're getting an echo.
I think we're getting an echo, guys.
Yeah, a little echo.
Is it sunny and 80 like it is beautiful here?
Summer's here.
Yeah. Finally,
summer's
here, guys. Summer is here. Thank goodness. Oh, my God.
So how's it been? Yeah. How's everything going?
This morning was fabulous. I mean, just an incredible behind-the-scenes experience for all of us and for the listeners that have joined us. I mean, the two biggest heavy hitters at Woodford Reserve, Chris Morris and Elizabeth McCall, literally joined us for the entire tour.
Yeah, the whole tour.
I mean, they are the master distillers. Chris Morris is...
And one is a master distiller, Emirates.
Yeah, he's sort of like moved on.
It's Greek.
Yeah, he's...
For like exceptional.
He's got to be one of the longest tenured master distillers down here. I mean, Jimmy and Eddie Russell at obviously maybe a little bit longer, but there aren't many.
Fred and Freddie Noe.
He literally built this brand up with the Brown-Forman family, and to have him and his protege is Elizabeth McCall, who's already turned into a rock star within the bourbon world and the whiskey world. She's very well known, and to have the two of them guide us on this tour, they tapped a barrel for us in the warehouse, and we got to drink a little bit of that, and they gave us a taste of something that they're going to roll out for they're the presenting sponsor for the Derby. And so next year is the 150th Kentucky Derby, and they're rolling out what
they've got two barrels put aside, and they're making 150 bottles of something special for the 150th anniversary of the
Kentucky
Derby.
There will only be 150 bottles of this whiskey. It's a cognac finished whiskey that they're doing right now. And we got to taste it. And no one will be able to get their hands on this whiskey next year.
Nobody.
And it'll be thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for a bottle. And we got to taste a little bit of it. I mean, it was just a truly remarkable experience here at Woodford.
So when you go and you know the good fans that you brought with you that qualified that won trips to go, were you guys able? Is there like special stuff like at the distillery that you for purchase that you can't get from Woodford like in like stores?
Yes, there's definitely some stuff that is Kentucky only that you can buy here with the requisite amount of discretionary income.
Did you bring an empty suitcase just to get all of the stuff you're buying home,
maybe?
Carmen?
Yeah,
it's like traveling with my wife to Europe. Carmen has a separate suitcase traveling back from the
distillery. Well, that's why they took the bus. Carmen's like, I can't fly. I can't bring all this back in a suitcase.
This isn't carry-on worthy. I have a box on the bus that, yes, potentially we might have to load up with.
Just don't throw it out, Yurko.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, yesterday it was so funny.
Oh, boy.
It was so
funny. It wasn't funny.
Well, it wasn't.
I was trying to be conscientious. That's what I was trying to do. I was picking up on the bus all the garbage that we had made on the way down.
Sure.
We stopped in Lebanon, Indiana, stopped at a Steak and Shake. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to help clean the bus.
Right, we did start to gather trash.
Right.
That we had accumulated.
I saw a couple, 3, 4 empty beer cans in a bag. I picked up the whole bag, and I said, boy, it's heavy. Boy, a lot of garbage in here. And then I gave it to Chuck. Charlie went and chucked it over to the edge into the garbage. We get back on the bus. Everybody's got food. We get back on the bus and goes.
And Jim.
Yeah. Jim goes, what happened to my sandwiches?
He said, where's that white bag that was sitting on
I had that white bag with the handles. Where are my sandwiches?
He goes, guys, I had four beef sandwiches in a bag. Does anybody know what happened?
I raised my hand and I said, they had beer cans on them. I thought they were garbage. So I pulled out $40 and I'm like, hey, here, let me pay you for the beef sandwiches. He wouldn't let me pay for the beef sandwiches, and I gave him a Steak and Shake double cheeseburger to try to help, but it didn't help.
Jim took it in stride, but he looked at when Yurko said, realized what he did,
it's like,
Yurko said, okay, that's on me. I threw it away. Jim looked at him and he goes, that was my dinner.
If I know Yurko, though,
that was my dinner.
If I know Yurko, Yurko peeled off 100 and got lunch for some people afterwards.
I was peeling 40 off and said, here's 40 for the sandwiches I just threw away. I couldn't believe it.
They sounded so good, like they were four beef sandwiches from Pops,
yeah,
dipped with sweet peppers.
Triple dip.
And it was like, oh.
See, money can't replace that. He's not going to be able to eat the $40.
The juice is running down your forearms as you're eating it.
So this happens in about 15 minutes later, we're down the road, and I'm sitting in the back
with Yurko. I feel terrible.
Charlie's in front of me, Anthony Catazone, Sonny. I'm running through the scenario again in my head. And I laughed probably for 8 straight minutes. My side was hurting. And we're reliving the story, and we're trying to do it in a way where we're not upsetting Jim any more than he's already been upset. Like, I don't want to throw it in his face. So we're kind of like under our breaths reliving this.
He was actually
pretty
good about
so
it, too.
Hard. My side was hurting, you guys. No. Like, just picturing Yurko throwing away this guy's dinner, it was unbelievable.
With all due respect to Jim, that doesn't seem like good travel food.
Maybe
it
not.
Seems like something that you need, a dip beef with the
sure.
juices running down your arm.
When it's all wrapped up, it doesn't make a difference.
It's all wrapped up.
It's sitting there in its own little cocoon.
Dude, that juice had been. Yeah. Think about it. It had been like saturating that bread.
That's just wet bread. That's just wet bread at that point.
I don't know, dude.
It's good. No, I'm not saying it in a bad way.
Either way, I made a mistake.
Yeah,
it was great.
I tried to make up for it.
Can we? This is not from us. This is from management. We need a hello from Charlie.
Charlie, are you there?
Everybody on Twitch that you're okay.
We need a hello real quick.
Not only is Charlie okay, Charlie is flourishing.
He's flourishing as
thriving.
That's Charlie's hand.
Yeah. I love Charlie, you guys. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know. I
love this kid. Like, so Charlie, what, 24, right? Charlie?
23.
23. Charlie's 23. So we get to the hotel last night, and we're waiting in line. We're getting ready to check in, and the listeners are going first. And Charlie is standing next to me, and he taps me, and he goes, hey, Carm, I've never checked into a hotel before. What do I have to do?
No, but to be fair, though.
Not even one of your little freaky deekies?
No.
I looked at him, I said, Charlie, I love you, dude. I'm like, I love
it's
this
the best.
Kid so much.
Isn't
He's
it, Carmen?
To be fair, though, my first time on the road, I went with Jonathan Hood to New Orleans, and I was terrified when they were like,
really?
We need a credit card for incidentals. And I was like, what are you
going
to charge my credit card? And they're like, well, we just kind of put a hold on it in case you use anything in the room. And I'm like, but you're not going to charge me anything, right?
Because I promise.
I'm broke as hell. They're like trying to go to New Orleans. And I'm like, they wanted to put like a $50 hold on my credit card. And I was like, wait a minute. So I completely understand like this is your first time on the road. Like you kind of don't know what's going on. I get that.
First time. I said, all you need is your license and a credit card. You're good to go. So this is Charlie's first ever. Is this like the first time you've ever stayed by yourself in a hotel room?
Pretty much. Yeah.
This see?
The first time in a hotel room, Charlie?
Well, is it by himself?
Yeah, like where I check in or something like that. Yeah. Like I've gotten to a point where my dad's like, hey, this is your room. Like,
okay,
up here.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You've never taken a trip with like friends?
He's all grown up now, guys.
No, we all use Airbnbs usually at this point.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's just it.
Everyone gets their own room.
There's a process to that, though.
To hold
the hotel's just a little bit more official.
Exactly. Yes. Now we can check it off the box. I have checked in.
So, Charlie, there's this cool thing about hotels. When you're gone throughout the day, they will come and make your bed for you. It's pretty cool.
You see Charlie freaking out when he gets back.
Here's the key.
Leave a couple of dollars or something there, Charlie, for him.
Somebody left chocolate on my pillow.
Yeah, you got to leave like a 5 spot on the table when you check out.
I know. Yeah, you got a tip.
All right.
Who is this person leaving chocolate on my pillow?
Somebody made my bed and left me a chocolate.
I've like been to a hotel before. I've never checked into a hotel.
It was priceless.
And it's high, if someone comes to do the housekeeping late at night, always answer the door.
Yeah.
Hello.
Always.
Hello.
I'm going to bang on Charlie's door.
Housekeeping. What do you get?
We need fresh pillows. Housekeeping.
And then we went downstairs after we checked in. We watched the second half of the basketball game last night. We watched what might be. I don't think it's his last game. I think LeBron was maybe.
He's coming back.
You get emotional when something like that happens and when you're his age. Like I don't think LeBron's done playing.
It's not even that, Carm. This is calculated. This is calculated. He knew that today on and he cares about this stuff. As big as LeBron is and as much as he doesn't want to care, he cares that the narrative today would be LeBron got swept and not that the Nuggets are going to the finals.
He might retire. There's a softer response to he may retire because to he can't get it done anymore and they just got swept.
Yeah, because if you were on Twitter last night, the emotion was I'm not ready for an NBA without LeBron. And, like, that softens the blow of getting swept a lot more than how is this going to affect his legacy?
Yeah, maybe it is a calculated move by someone who's pretty savvy. You know, I guess I didn't really think about that. I think a lot of times when someone that has played as long as LeBron has and did just get swept, I think the emotion of, like, that is in that response when that question gets asked, I don't know that they're always thinking clearly. And so you might hint at retirement, but he could wake up in 3 weeks and be like, no, man, I'm not done. I still feel great. I still play great. But maybe there was some, like, it was a little calculated where he was trying to steer the narrative one way or the other. You know, listen, the Lakers, I know this might sound weird, they actually played reasonably well in that series. They're just not as good. LeBron's probably too old to be able to do the things that were required of him to really stay in that series and win that series. And the Nuggets are too good. It's not like the Lakers were. Boston's been embarrassed. The Lakers haven't been embarrassed.
It was a fun series.
Like, in a weird way, I've never seen a sweep that was as fun. Those games were all close in the fourth quarter. Yep. Like Yurko pointed out yesterday, Dennis Schroeder played his ass off. AD and LeBron played a lot of minutes for guys with their mileage, especially LeBron. LeBron played 47 minutes and 30 seconds last night or something.
All but 8 seconds, they said.
That's pretty remarkable, you know? So in a weird way, even though it was a sweep, they played a good series.
I'm with you. I think what we've learned here in the last two rounds is that you need more than five or six guys. You need seven or eight pieces off the bench to help with your stars. And Carm, you're right. The Lakers are just not deep enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because what happened was they may have four guys. Denver's thrown out there seven and eight who can play in the rotation, who can contribute, who can hit open shots, who can rebound, who can get out on the break. The Lakers, once they went past Schroeder, it was like they don't really have anything else. Like, you know what's shocking about watching the Lakers in this last round was that, like, outside of Hachimura and AD, they had no other. They were playing Tristan Thompson last night.
That was crazy.
Major minutes. Like, that's wild to me. They didn't have anybody that they could play.
That's an excellent point. You're right.
See, Carm, I think it's so calculated, too, that LeBron, even the way he played yesterday was calculated. Like, he knows he's not coming down back from down 3-0.
He gave it his all early, hoping that someone would come along with him. And in the second half, when no one else was, he kind of stood there and just waited.
And every time he didn't do anything, I bet the cameras didn't show up, but I bet you he was looking right up at Rob Pelinka and be like, you see this crap around me? Make it better.
Well, Carmen, did you see what The Ringer has this morning with Kevin O'Connor?
No,
he's suggesting that one of the viable options for LeBron is that if he does want out, he could demand a trade to the Golden State Warriors. Oh. And that Draymond may be sniffing around behind the scenes with his clutch connection and he's represented there, and that LeBron joining them and them getting LeBron could be the way to kind of allow both the Warriors and LeBron to kind of go off into the sunset while still competing.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Holy cow. That would be. I mean, it'd be more fuel to the fire of, like, oh, LeBron has to just find other great players to play with and can't win.
Well, but isn't that the conversation's over with that, right? Like, him chasing Michael, that's done. He is now at the stage of his career where he is still a very good player, but he is no longer going to ever catch or surpass Michael as far as...
because he's not going to get a sixth title.
Well,
right?
If he does, he has to be the third or the second best player on a team with someone who's better than him.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it still will add fuel to that fire, though. Whether we know it or not, like, it's, I think it's still going to – that's the thing that resonates with the people who love to hate on LeBron. It's that, well, he's always had to go chase these titles, and, you know, you hear it about KD a lot, too, and it hasn't even worked out as well for KD.
Sure.
But that he's just bouncing around team to team chasing a title. I think there's a certain amount of that that's always going to be there with LeBron, and if they pull a move off – like you were just talking about where he goes to Golden State, then it just adds more fuel to that fire. I don't care, really. Like, it, to me, I don't get that wrapped up in it. I think LeBron is pretty clearly one of the three best players of all time, maybe probably the second best. I don't know. Yurko says five. I don't know how you can name three players or four players that were best.
Well, you're automatically
depends
putting
if you have love for Kareem, if you have love for
and
Will.
Magic. It's Magic. Magic has five titles.
Larry Bird.
So I think if you're putting him above Magic, then Carm, you're right. If you're Yurko's thought process and you still have like Kareem and Magic still in the mix,
yeah,
then
I mean,
he
if
might
you
be
want
behind.
To just erase the players of the
what's
past.
Yeah, if you have no respect for history or the past.
If I were to say Michael Jordan's the best ever, am I erasing the past?
No.
A thousand players played before.
Who do you think?
100%
you are.
Correct.
Well, but you're being silly when you say if you want to erase the past.
You asked me a silly
question.
Who do
you think you
point.
Are? These damn
it's
millennials.
A silly question. If I say Michael, is that forgetting about everybody
no
else?
Respect.
No. Michael
young
Jordan
people.
Is the best player that ever played in the NBA. Period. It's got nothing to do with the old people that have played in the past. When you start getting past Michael Jordan, that's when you've got to start thinking about some of the more elderly players,
but
guys that
why?
Are. You know,
why wouldn't I think about those players if they were?
Because Michael
Bill
Jordan.
What if Bill
Michael
was
Jordan
than Michael?
Has clearly separated himself from every other player in the NBA. He is on his own level, his own pedestal, by himself. And then there's everybody else, and you can have a conversation about everybody else. I don't think LeBron has separated himself to be a crystal clear number two, and then you talk about everybody else after him.
But again, you're only doing that based on idol, where you can't just erase the other players that came before him. Well, no, like evaluate who was a better basketball player.
You can do it for Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan is so far and clear the best player that ever played in the NBA. After that, you put everybody in a jumble and then sort it out.
Bill Cartwright would say, silliness.
Silliness. Pure silliness.
Silliness.
That's your silliness. I get a hold of you today.
Oh, yeah.
You better pray.
This guy.
I saw a scenario where there was a trade that the Bulls were going to get LeBron James.
Now, what? Where'd you see
I
that?
I saw it. It was out there on Twitter. Somebody threw it. The Bulls
did you guys
get LeBron
see that?
James. The L.A. Lakers get 14 players. You know, something crazy like that.
I didn't see that.
Match money for money and see what it would, you know, how it could happen.
That ain't happening.
But why would the Bulls want LeBron James? The Bulls would never want LeBron James.
No, not now.
No.
I mean, not with the team they have.
He's done. Stick a fork in him.
Warriors would make sense. You'd get why. That checks a lot of boxes for both.
Maybe they'd be better on the road.
Maybe. It doesn't make much sense for the Bulls. So, that's for sure. Did we lose Chris and Adam?
I think we may have.
I think we did.
All right,
boys, what happened?
They took off.
I can see them in the Twitch chat.
No, we're here. We're here. That
you
was
guys
great.
You guys
were
going at it. We were going to leave. They got to do some work in the studio, so we got to go.
Oh, do you guys? Okay.
Yeah. No, I like the conversation.
But you guys were just going.
We thought that if we just slowly walked out of the room, if anyone would notice.
I noticed. I was like, what happened to Chris and Adam?
No, we were listening.
If
I'm here listening.
They do have work on the studio to do so.
Yeah.
Right. That's cool. All right.
You guys enjoy the rest of Kentucky. We'll see you on Thursday.
See you Thursday. Absolutely. Looking
have a good show,
to
guys.
Back home. See you guys. Mir, York.
Something about the sound, the smells, and the atmosphere of NASCAR just really revs the good kid's engine. NASCAR is coming to the streets of Chicago this summer. July 1st through the 2nd, the stars of NASCAR will be racing through downtown Chicago for the first time ever. The 12-turn course will loop around Grant Park and be like nothing the city has ever seen before. 2 days of racing and a music festival featuring concerts from the Chainsmokers, Miranda Lambert, the Black Crows, and Charlie Crockett, all included with your ticket. This is your chance to try something new this summer. Plenty of seating options. From reserved grandstands and premium hospitality to general admission. Learn more and lock in your experience at NASCARChicago.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Woodford Reserve. It's Carmen and Aaron. Good crosstalk with the boys. We had fun. We've had a great morning with the listeners. We are going to be here all the way through the duration of our show, including a little bit of live Matt Eberflus as the Bears kick off OTAs. A lot of teams around the NFL doing that. We'll bring you that here on your home for Chicago Bears football in about an hour. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie at 2. It is gorgeous down here where we are. Yurko, your first trip down here to Versailles in this part of Kentucky and Woodford Reserve. And I wasn't lying, was I? I mean, this is horse country. And
no,
this scenery around here and the property, the drive, getting here. Once you get off the highway and you realize what beautiful country it is and all the horse barns and the farms and everything, and then once you pull up to this distillery, it is a really, really special place.
Well, I said the one thing I'd love to see is I'd love to see this place in October, late October, early November, when the leaves are changing. It's got to be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, right.
I mean, just how picturesque. We're up here on a hill, and you're overlooking basically the valley on about three-quarters of the property. You know, you're looking down, on three-quarters of the property. So it's got to look fantastic. And you're right, it was horse country as we were coming in. You can see all the grass and the hay that was growing and the white fencing that seems to run for miles upon miles.
Just fencing for miles upon miles.
I was expecting to see at some point, you know, maximum security or one of these horses of lore running around the fields getting ready to sire themselves a couple of years.
Getting ready to go into the breeding
some
shed.
Some foals, getting ready to go to the breeding
what
shed.
What a job.
And make some young female horse happy, you know?
I think so.
That's what I was expecting to see.
It's Yurko's bar.
But it's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
It's absolutely remarkable. Yep. And the minute we walked into that Rick house.
Yes.
And you could smell,
the angel shit.
Oh, boy. And it's there.
Yeah.
And then because the nights get down to about 50-something down here, it's still wonderfully cool inside.
Yes, it is. Especially on the first floor. You know, the higher you go, it's obviously going to be warmer.
Well, they say heat rises.
Heat rises, my man. But
the amazing thing is when we were watching the yeast ferment and the CO2 was being released, right?
Yep.
Imagine if they have their net zero, Carm, you can't have any more bourbon.
I don't know. Could you get to net zero making bourbon?
Here's the crazy thing, though. You need the CO2 because that's what the trees take in.
Yes.
And they convert the CO2 into oxygen.
Yes. So it's perfect for around here.
Can you ever be net zero on carbon dioxide?
Probably not. Not in the bourbon world.
Yeah. Just probably not in general.
Just in general.
You don't want to stop.
We'd have a tough time if the
plants,
trees didn't grow.
Right? Yeah. I don't call it net zero anymore. I call it net stupid.
We would have a tough time with that. Why do you got to take it?
It's what I do.
Why? We're having a good time.
We're
drinking whiskey. We're learning about whiskey. We're
because I was learning about what was being released. And that's why the fans are running.
I can't take this guy anywhere. He's throwing away beef sandwiches.
In the East Room. That's why all the fans are blowing.
Yes,
the fans are blowing. It's to get it out. Get it out.
They got no use for that. They just want what's left over in
that beautiful and we taste
fermenting
it. We're
tank.
Sticking our fingers in there. We're tasting
right in there,
it, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's good stuff.
So we've had a great time. We did we were watching some of the Laker game on the bus ride down. Watched a very impressive first half. LeBron did seem pretty determined not to go home. I don't think he wanted it to end with a sweep. LeBron hasn't been swept much in his career. I mean, ones aren't swept very often.
What did Denver do?
They swept them.
We got back to the hotel. We got to watch
the second half at the hotel. The third quarter was incredible.
Yeah.
And Jokic and Murray have reached – well, Jokic has been there. Don't get me wrong.
But Murray has come along.
Murray is, I think, back to where he was pre-injury. And the tandem is now what had us – a lot of us believing back in 2020. Remember, in the COVID year, I had a 14-1 ticket on the Nuggets winning the West.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They didn't win the West that year. The Lakers came out of the West that year. That was the COVID year. It was weird. It was the bubble in Orlando and all that. But the Murray-Jokic combo that had a lot of us believing back then, you know, and then Murray gets hurt, and it takes a long time to come back from the ACL. He is back, and that tandem looks about as dangerous and lethal as any, and they've played, again, Jokic has been great forever now. Murray is reaching a level that makes you go, oh, man. If he keeps playing like that, I don't know. That's a tough out. I'm not sure the Heat, in all likelihood, or the Boston Celtics, if they have some sort of a miracle comeback, can beat them. I don't think anybody's beating them in Denver. I mean, they've got a perfect record in Denver. They've got a, in this postseason, they've got a great home court advantage there. And Murray has been awesome. And he made the key defensive play last night where he wrapped up LeBron.
Right at Not, the end.
Right at the end of the game on that last possession.
Would you, now, in that situation, would you rather see him go for a two-pointer or get the ball up on top and just go ahead and can a three-pointer for the victory?
Ooh, that's a good question, man. At home, I guess the old I hate old adages. Why do
right.
we have to – conventional wisdom, throw it out the window, right? Like at home, I kind of feel like that's not a bad play. You know, where I thought they really screwed up was when they had the ball coming out of the deflected ball with 30 seconds left and they were down two. You know, you could set yourself up there if you go quick for a good two-for-one situation, I suppose. But with only 30 seconds left, I felt like LeBron really rushed his shot. It was an awkward, ugly shot that had no chance of going in. And then they chose not to foul. Now, they got the defensive stop they needed, but they just didn't give themselves a lot of wiggle room. I thought what they did drop was right. Get LeBron going downhill towards the basket. At the very least, he gets fouled. They didn't foul him. Murray tied him up. It was a beautiful play. It was a beautiful, brilliant basketball play by Jamal Murray. Joker was there to apply just enough of rim protection and sort of rim presence as well.
That you'd be concerned about
in the
just
games,
that you'd be concerned about it.
And that was it. No foul. Totally clean. Nothing to complain about.
And you believe Miami cleans it up tonight?
Boy,
I mean, it said it. Boston looked like they quit
they
the other
quit.
Day.
I don't know how you bet them tonight, folks.
It looks like they got their golf clubs ready, and they're going to play a little bit of golf.
Flat out quit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time in the series they're not a favorite, Boston. They weren't a favorite in game two. They weren't a favorite in game three, and they've lost them all. Boy, that's a good question. Do I feel like maybe Boston musters up the effort to get one? Maybe they're so embarrassed by what they've heard the last 48 hours and what everybody saw, what all the commentators said, what everybody, all the fans have said in the aftermath. Maybe they're so embarrassed by their play that they come out and they give one hell of an inspired effort tonight.
But on the road.
But yeah, they're on the road. Yeah. It's for them, it's been an embarrassment. For the Lakers, even though they got swept, I don't think it's an embarrassment. And I agree with what you said.
Yeah.
Oddly
entertaining.
That was an entertaining series in a sweep. Every fourth quarter was close. And both teams, I thought, made adjustments. And the two best players for Denver played like it basically all series long.
Yeah.
And they were just too
good.
There
are two 37-point games for Jamal Murray.
I know.
There.
Yes.
And it's just triple-double after triple-double after triple-double for Jokic.
What
like
he's
nothing.
Doing is...
I mean, the amount
I got
of assists,
some numbers for you on him.
The amount of assists that he has.
Thank you.
It's like,
just
wow.
It's insane. So if you got thoughts on that, if you got thoughts on LeBron reaching the end, if you think it was a little calculated on his part last night to take some of the attention away from getting swept, if you think he's seriously contemplating retirement at this point, for some people, they'd probably be happy with that. There are some LeBron haters out there that say, good, be gone. I don't want to have to watch you anymore. Boy, the guy can still really play, though, and he still found a way to get his team to the conference final. 312-332-3776. You can ring us up. We're live at Woodford Reserve in Versailles. Had a great time down here. Still got more show to do. Baseball, football, crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie a little bit later. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
All righty. If you're looking for holiday savings and customer service that you can't get from the big guys, visit my friends at Grand Appliance. This is the good kid, Johnny Handsome. With 10 locations and easy online access, Grand Appliance can make it easy on you to get top brands, superior service, and the lowest appliance prices guaranteed. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And now for Memorial Day, get up to $1,000 off on top appliance brands like Whirlpool, KitchenAid, and more. Trust the experts since 1930. Go to Grand Appliance today, grandappliance.com. Tell them the good kid sent you.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Huey Lewis in the news. We're live in Kentucky. It's so beautiful down here on the trail. It's Carmen and York having a good time. We are up on Twitch. You can watch us on Twitch. You can join the chat there. Twitch.tv. Download the app. Just search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Wave to the Twitchers, Yurko. Wave to the Twitchers.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola, mi amo Juan.
Hola, everybody. Coming up in about an hour, Matt Eberflus is going to be meeting the media, Yurko. We will carry it live here on your home for Chicago Bears football. Yesterday, we were discussing this on the bus ride down, and thanks to Windy City Limo and George and the crew and Rod, our driver, getting us down safe and sound to Kentucky. We were discussing the breaking news at the, what do they call these? Are these the late spring, early summer meetings for the NFL? There's some sort of meetings happening right now. I think it's the
weeks,
spring meetings.
Right. The post-draft, pre-summer vacation meetings.
Post-draft, pre-summer vacation meetings.
Post-draft, pre-summer vacation meetings.
When the big news to come out of there, Yurko, is that the league did approve the flex of the late season. I want to say it's at the last 5 weeks of the NFL season. They can flex the Thursday night games.
But you have to give them 28 days notice.
You have to give 28 days notice.
And you can only do it twice. Is that what they say?
Well, you know, I think the rule is that still no team can play more than two Thursday night games. So it's not like they can flex. Let's say, like the Bears play two Thursday night games this year. Let's say the Bears are awesome. We'd all love that. Justin Fields is incredible. And there's a Sunday matchup that's like, ooh, this in December, how great would this be? We want to flex it to Thursday. Can't, because the Bears can – you can only play two Thursday night games, if I'm understanding it correctly.
Right, I got
the Bears
you. I got
were
you.
One of eight teams to vote against. And I got to say, good for the Bears. Who's what's Wellington Mara's son's name? Why am I blanking? John Mara, right?
Wellington Mara.
He's the dad. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, remember, said it around the time of the draft, give or take, when they had some owners' meetings.
It's not fair for the fans.
Said it, he goes, at what point do we stop? At what point do we stop doing what we're doing and actually consider the fans for a second? He said, what happens to the fan that buys a ticket for a Sunday game and then we tell them, nope, that game's being moved to a Thursday? 28 days advance or not, you're probably, especially if you're bringing younger children, you're probably not changing those plans.
You're the getting Bears, pounded.
Yeah,
you're getting pounded financially.
The Bears were one of eight teams with the Giants. I think it was
Cincinnati votes
against everything. Yurko's right. They vote against everything. But there were eight teams in all, including the Bears, that voted against it. It got just enough votes to pass. And I want to say, because Yurko is always on top of these things, when we first talked about this a year ago, when there were some whispers about this, this is all because Jeff Bezos probably went running to Roger Goodell, bitching and complaining about his slate of Thursday night games last year and how the ratings didn't come close probably to what they had expected or anticipated, and he raised a stink, and he's invested a lot in the league, and he's got a lot of clout and influence, obviously. Wow. And this is a big, like, let's satiate Jeff Bezos.
This is your other dilemma, and now you see it in baseball right now. Four of the next five Yankees games will be on four different channels. Four of the next five will be on four different channels.
So like a TBS, an Apple TV.
Yeah, whatever.
Fox.
Yes, whatever all the different ones are.
Oh,
and that becomes a problem. What if you don't have them all and you're a fan? Well, that's going to become a problem in football. Yeah, are you going to have everything? I'm telling
you,
the league
makes the home markets show it. But now you were gone last week. Peggy and I talked about this. The other news was that one of the playoff games is going to be a stream only. What do you remember what it was, guys? What service it was on?
It's on Peacock.
It's on Peacock.
Yeah,
so we were debating this again last week. You know,
and that's NBC.
Like, I don't have Peacock. I don't pay for that. Not all of us have Peacock. Am I going to miss an NFL playoff game?
Yes, if you don't have Peacock. That or you got to find the bar that has
it. Or you have to go to the bar that's got
it. I mean, that happened last year, Thursday night. There were three bars that didn't have it.
Oh, because they didn't have Prime?
Well, they didn't have Amazon Prime. And then the girl goes, well, I've got Amazon Prime.
And so we'll just stream it?
Let's try. And so she put it in. The bartender put it in.
Really?
And we got it. Not because the bar had the wherewithal and the forethought to go ahead and say, hey, let me make sure we have it. But because the girl bartender said, you know what? I got it. Why don't we try it?
Just put my account on.
And it worked. So, but that's it. Apple Plus, this. At some point, it's going to become a pain in the ass. And when, as a fan, do you say, well, that game's just not worth it?
I don't know.
And
that's a great question.
I don't care.
I don't feel like we'd ever say that for an NFL playoff game.
For a regular season game. Because, I mean, you look forward to Thursday nights.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
It's another gaming opportunity for Carmen DeFalco.
Yeah.
Another chance to send your college to kid for another year.
Right.
Maybe get a master's degree.
Listen,
right? You're looking at that. And you love Saturday night football when it comes around. You love Sunday football.
I love Sunday football.
Monday what? Night Football. You love it, but at what point is it going to be where you're looking up some podunk channel because the NFL decided to take $1 billion from them?
Thursday nights have become part of the football regimen, but I said it the minute, what, it's been, what, 10 years or so? The regular Thursday night slate has been about 10 years. Yeah. I said it to you back then. I said it's BS for the players. I said you've got to be kidding me that you're talking about. And this is at a time when the concussion thing was still kind of hot in the NFL. You're talking about protecting your players. You're worried about their health and safety. They're not. They say it, but they're not.
They never have been.
They never have been. And then you're going to start saying every single week there are going to be short weeks and quick turnarounds. It's terrible for the players. I think the level of football has been mostly bad. It's getting better because I think teams understand the rhythms of it a little bit more. Those first couple years, it was awful football because of what a lot of us had predicted. You were putting the players in a tough, you're putting these organizations in a tough spot, and you could walk everybody through it. It's not easy to play on Sunday and then turn around, especially if you have to travel and play a game on Thursday night. It's not easy.
Was it less popular?
Well, no, that's the thing. And you even said it. Oh, Carm, you look forward to Thursdays. It's become so much a part of the regimen, and I love football so much. Right. Yeah, I do. I'm usually working on Thursday nights, getting ready for the NFL weekend and getting ready for Odds Couple on our show. And on the TV, without question, is the Thursday night game.
And then if you had a guy playing on Thursday, you don't play fantasy football.
I don't
anymore.
Play fantasy. But,
you'd have to make a decision then on Wednesday if you had a guy going on Thursday.
Yeah.
Do I play him? Don't I play him? I got a guy that's hurt. He's 50-50. He's questionable. Do I go ahead and pull the trigger and play the guy on Thursday for what was likely to be a crappy Thursday night game
right.
where he might not score points anyway?
Right.
So those are the decisions, too, that had to go into it. I'm still a fantasy player, Carm.
Yes.
I haven't grown up yet. I'm still a child. I still like playing games.
I don't know how you like well, listen, hey, there's like 20 million people, excuse me, that are playing fantasy football, so obviously a lot of people like it. I never really liked it. I never did. I sort of, I don't know, pretended. I just sort of, I kind of was like, well,
Didn't you win a championship with the Battalions?
Ernie and I played in the championship in that league a couple times. We never won one. Yeah. I think we made it to the championship in Harry's league and in Tony Kirk's league twice, maybe three times.
Never a champion.
Never won. No, I won other leagues, though. I mean,
never,
I did.
Never having sipped from the...
I won other leagues.
The chalice of victory, Carm. I could understand why you'd be a little bitter over
it. I won a league. I was going to quit a league, and the only reason they forced me to come back is because I won. They're like, you can't quit now. You won the league.
You're a champion.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's stupid. I hate it. And I just don't want to do it. But I never liked it. I sort of did it because I felt like we almost had to for our job. And I don't know. But I finally got to a point where, like, I can't do it. And then I got sucked into running my son's team last year.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, I'm not doing it next year. If you're going to play fantasy, you're running it. And that's it. I said, I'm not setting your roster.
I'm not
making your roster moves.
You look it up.
I said, call Meller. Call Uncle Jeff.
Who should I play? Look it up.
You can call.
And figure it out.
Yeah.
Do some studying.
I'm done. Done with it.
Yeah.
What do you think about the proposed rule changes? Where they are, they're not even proposed anymore. They're happening. They got the requisite, requisite votes.
It's been passed.
And, you know, I don't think it is good for fans. If you're making plans for a late season game somewhere, you really could get screwed. Yes, they're going to give you about a month's notice. That doesn't mean that it's not going to blow your whole planned trip to smithereens. We take trips to see the Bears. Jim, who Yurko threw away his sandwiches, his brother Larry, they were telling me, they're on the trip with us. Guys, how many years in a row? 33 years you've gone on a Bears trip? Is that right? 33 years. And these guys are, what's the euphemism I could use? They're not old. They're crafty veterans. They've got their sons with them, their grandsons. They've got a rule.
It's familial.
Once you're 10, I love these guys. Once you're 10,
you're on.
You have reached the threshold to be able to join them on the Bears trip.
Once you're 10, you bring the Woodford Reserve.
That's right.
That's right.
So these guys have, like many of us, have made, and so many thousands of Bears fans, tens of thousands of Bears fans, have made a ritual out of this, and fans of the NFL everywhere, you really could get screwed. And that's why I liked what Mara said. I'm glad the Bears voted against it, to be honest. And like Yurko said, Cincinnati votes against everything. So we can't give them too much credit.
Cincinnati will never vote the way the league wants to.
Never. 312-332-3776. We're live at Woodford Reserve. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. Woodford Reserve is more than a spirit, it's a spectacle. And we're understanding that more than ever because we're down here in Versailles at Woodford. With more than 200 flavor notes, Woodford Reserve wows your senses, delights your palate, surprises you with every new scent and sensation. It elevates an evening into an event, and it gives you a new experience with every sip. So, yeah, Woodford is more than a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Kentucky Straight Whiskey, 45.2% alcohol by volume. The Woodford Reserve Distillery, Versailles, Kentucky. Please drink responsibly. Woodford is a registered trademark, 2023. The Brown-Forman Distillery, Incorporated.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Gorgeous day down here in Kentucky. Gorgeous back home from what we understand. Finally. Feels like summer has arrived, my friend. I saw in the news this morning, at least down here in Louisville, yeah. And you know, we're in the eastern time zone. We're on the western edge. That means the sun comes up a little bit later than we're used to, but it stays light until, I don't think sunset's until about 9 o'clock here. 14 hours and like 7 minutes or something of daylight hours in the Kentucky area today. Oh, it's glorious. Let's enjoy the next month, Yurko. It's a lot of daylight.
Yeah, we're going to have it for the next 2 months, actually.
Yeah, you're right. We get to...
Yeah, obviously, the peak is the 24th.
Right, 20th.
Yeah, 20th. Yeah. 20th, 21st, either way.
Yeah.
That's the peak. That's when you've got the most sunlight. That's when I like to stay out 9
you
o'clock.
Tan your body all day,
dusk
Yurko.
Out. Yeah, dusk out. No, that's when you get a lot of things done, though.
I love it.
That's the summer is when you get things done.
I need the sunshine, Yurko. Yeah. I do. I can't. The winters, they're brutal. They wear on me, kid. They wear on me.
Because of the winter, though, you appreciate the spring and the summer that much more.
Do I?
I'm telling you, by August, with the heat, about August 25th, I'm like...
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Right.
It's a little hot.
Is it ever going to cool off? You know,
a little hot.
Corn is high. It's all rooted up.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Will we ever get through this? You know, will we ever get through this heat? And then it turns somewhat autumnal, and the days start getting shorter.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're in the winter.
Right.
Snow falls October 17th, and now you're in the winter.
That's what I hate. Yurko, what was your favorite pour when we did the tasting of Woodford before?
The Double Oak.
The Double Oak is like long been probably my favorite Woodford Reserve expression.
I've got to take out the sneak peek that we've got on the Kentucky Derby, the 150th. We got some of that, and let me tell you something.
It was unbelievable.
It was delicious. So not including that, my order of finish goes Double Oak, wheat, malt.
The malt was sneaky good.
So
man.
Wheat, malt, and then I go to the regular original bourbon, and then I go to rye.
The rye.
Yeah.
That malt was sneaky good.
So rye's five for me out of the five.
Okay, that's fine.
But you like my order. Double Oak, wheat, malt.
I do like your order. I was very pleasantly surprised with the malt.
Yeah.
And it's not a single, it's not like 100% malt, it's not a single malt, it's 51%. I did a podcast that is, if it's not up yet, it will be very shortly on the Carmen and Yurko page. I did a podcast with Elizabeth McCall, who is now the master distiller here.
Yeah,
we were talking about her and Chris Morris.
She gave you a little present.
That was nice of her, yeah. Elizabeth is a rock star, quite frankly, and I was very much hoping that we would get a chance to meet her. Little did I know her and Chris would do the entire tour for us. I mean, it's for whiskey nerds, it was really something to have the two of them spend 2.5 hours with us today and do the tour. But I did the podcast with her, and I was telling her about how pleasantly surprised I was. Because I don't drink a lot of, you know, it's something that presents a little bit more like a scotch. It doesn't have the peatiness, which is why I do like American malts a little bit more. But I just don't drink them a ton, getting into them a little bit more here lately. I really liked the little sample we had. And it was cool to be in that warehouse, watch them drill a barrel, like 1 year old,
right.
See how much color's already on it, and
right.
Some flavor.
Yeah.
But just to try it at 1 year in the barrel was pretty cool. Just right out of about 118 proof, I think Chris said, and just tasting it right out of the barrel in the warehouse like that, very fun experience.
So when you tell me something is young or grainy.
Now you know.
Now you know exactly what you're looking for.
Remember that taste.
Yeah. And then he also poured the.
White Dog.
Before it ever goes into the barrel.
Yeah.
He poured it into our hand.
Looks like water.
Yeah. And then you sit there and then you smell. Oh, yeah.
It's that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That's grain alcohol
yes,
right there.
Is.
And you put it on your hands. It's like, you know, Sanitizer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like sanitizer.
And you taste it a little bit, you know, oh, it's bready and yeasty and corn and
grainy.
Delicious though. It's in its own right. It's delicious. Some places will sell that. You know, that's like places will actually sell the white dog. Yeah, they'll proof it down a little. From where it comes out, because, you know, it's probably coming off the still somewhere at around 150-ish.
Yeah, coming off hot.
Yeah, 155.
It's got to be under 160, though.
It's got to be below 160. Yeah, 160 or below. It cannot be distilled at any more than 160 proof. Yeah.
See, I'm learning things.
You are learning.
You think I'm not listening. I listen all the time.
Very good. We got a Sylvie Strong shirt here. How about that? We got some Chicago fans. We got a couple of guys over here that drove over. Rob was here a little while ago. He drove from Louisville to say hi to us. Chicago guy who's lived in Louisville for 5 years. He came by to say hi. Looks like these guys are biking. You guys biking through horse country?
Yeah.
They need a little room.
It looked like they're having a good time. And then she's wearing the Partridge Family bus.
Now, let me ask you.
Biking outfit up there. It looks like the bus from the Partridge Family.
On a when you're biking and you're working, man, physical exertion. Yeah. You stop at a distillery for a cocktail or just water? They get a cocktail? A little bit of both? Yeah. All right. I'm impressed.
Well, why not?
It provides
the extra fuel that you need.
I guess so. Fantastic. You know, you can hydrate in more ways than one, Yurko.
Absolutely.
You can hydrate with an old-fashioned.
Some would say alcohol is a diuretic, so you got to double up on the water.
Did you try the Spire?
I did try the Spire. That's what the glass came from.
I
got water in it now, but I did try the Spire.
Is it good?
It's refreshing.
I'm going to try it.
And initially, it gives you the bite that you need. The more you let it settle, the more it becomes like, oh, my God, I could just drink it. And then it'll sneak up on you.
Because they are the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby, they crafted a cocktail called the Spire. Everybody associates juleps, but not everybody loves mint juleps.
Mint juleps, yeah.
They crafted something that's lemonade, cranberry, and bourbon, and Woodford Reserve bourbon.
Cranberry-pomegranate combination.
All right, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
I'll wait a little bit because we're still working, but don't worry, Danny. Oh, and by the way, we haven't lost Charlie.
Charlie's
still here.
Charlie's on his game.
He almost lost his wallet yesterday, but he didn't.
That was close, but I did not.
But he's here, and he's ready to rock and roll, and he's been on top of everything, top notch. We thought we lost the Twitch camera for a minute, but we didn't. See? So it's all good. I mean, we've had a couple of close calls. But Charlie is here, and I promised Danny Zetterman that we would get him safely back.
Right, and with the White Sox game tomorrow, we're going to go take a tour of Churchill Downs.
We are.
Go on the backstretch a little bit.
The people here at Woodford were saying that we're going to love that.
Yeah.
They're saying you're going to really be in for a pretty cool treat to see the behind the scenes over there. So I've never done that.
Well, I used to deliver feed to Sportsman's and Hawthorne.
I know.
Down at Balmoral back in the day.
You're a real man's man, Yurko.
The backstretch, the tack room. I've been there.
You've been in that tack room.
I know what
room.
It's like. I've stacked alfalfa, three-wire alfalfa, six high.
Really?
You ever done that?
No,
I haven't. That's a job, my friend. That's a job.
That's hard work, man.
Each bale is about 97 pounds.
Yeah. So the Bears have OTAs starting. It starts this week. They got the next 3 weeks, and they have a veteran mini camp. And then before you know it, they're going to break for the summer. It goes by too fast, but I want to ask you something about something that Chris Morgan had said, who is the Bears offensive line coach, about Darnell Wright. I want to read you some quotes and just get your thoughts on, you know, what he's talking about and what Darnell Wright is going to have to do to get fully up to speed to be their starting right tackle this year. So I'm going to throw that at Yurko when we come back. If you want to talk about LeBron, is he going to retire? Do you think he's going to find a different team to play for? If I had to guess right now, I think he's back with the Lakers next year playing, but who knows? There's a long offseason to come, and I'm sure he's not happy about getting swept. We'll talk a little baseball coming up. White Sox had a disappointing one last night. Cubs have the Mets, who are suddenly surging in town this week, so there's a lot to discuss, and we'll carry Matt Eberflus's press conference live when he meets the media around 1:30. 312-332-3776. Ring us up. It's Carmen and Yurko. We're back in two live at Woodford Reserve.